a lot of the things of what that's coming out and what he's saying is to get the body and to get this body ready for the next steps. And really the only way you can as you do that for a body, you got to do that for people because you make up this body. Here's the church, here's the steeple, open it up. You are them people and you are the church. And so if the Lord's talking about the church and the body of Christ, next steps and things going on, and John and Michelle Grunewald are coming here in May, and they were my pastors before I started the church here, and they were in Terre Haute, Indiana, and Michelle said she's been praying out some things for me, and that's kind of one of the words she kept getting, which is kind of some of the words we've been getting is next steps. What are the next steps? It's not like the church is radically or dramatically changing. I doubt that very much. But there are some things that God has for us. And in order to get to the next steps, you've got to hear from God. And I've been talking about on Sunday mornings about faith. You have to personally hear from God. This word, this logos, has to become a rhema to you. There is no substitute for you having a relationship with the Lord and hearing from the Lord. Pastor Mark, are you saying that the written word's not enough? I have not said that. I've never said that. I'm saying is, do you take the written word and it becomes alive to you and becomes a rhema, and that's how you walk out your faith. But when it comes to anything and everything, we've got to hear from God. You can't substitute anything else for hearing from God. I want to hear from God. Amen? And so in order to hear from God, you got to get in his presence. And yes, he leads you and guides you. And he leads you, if you're awake 24 hours, he can lead and guide you 24 hours. So there's no substitution for being led by the Spirit of God. But there are those moments in time when you set aside some things, when you come away and you need to and want to hear from the Lord. Are y'all ready? Because we are entering into some seasons where you must hear from the Lord. For your personal life, for your business, for your career, if you've got children, you need to hear from God where they are, where they're not, who they're with, who they're not with, what they're doing. You need to know all that. We're living in such a time that we need to really hear from God. Are you hearing me? We need to hear from God. Hear ye, hear from God. It's time to hear from him. And so how do you do that? So I'm just going to be real practical for a little bit, use the word of God. So I guess where would we go after that song that I asked them to sing? Anybody have an idea where we should go after we sang that song? So let's go to Isaiah, right? Isaiah. Did they move it? Isaiah 40, Verse 29. Now, this is familiar scripture to you, but what are we talking about? So we're going to do some things a little different on a saturation, because, man, you're like, man, that was a quick saturation song service. Well, we ain't done yet. We're just doing it a little different than normal. So everybody coming that's going to be late, don't look at them strange. Just let them get a seat. And we're moving on right now with the word, because I really feel like tonight, whether you came or not, I believe that if you will do what I'm going to instruct you to do, you will hear from God tonight. My faith is that you will hear from God tonight. Now, we're going to set the atmosphere where you can hear from God tonight. When I do the Acts 13 meetings, we're going to look at Acts 13 a little bit. My job in helping them as ministers is to help them to get to the next step. What's next to do? What's next to do? And if I can do that with a group of ministers, I can surely do that with you, with the word and getting in God's presence. But the first thing you have to understand is that God is talking, but you have to position he's always leading. He's always guiding. But when a word from heaven from him can come to your heart. Now, I'm not talking about God talking in an audible voice. I'm not talking about you seeing angels or anything like that. All that's possible. But I'm talking about God ministering to you because you're going to minister to him. And this is what he says. He gives power to the faint. Verse 29, Isaiah 40, 29, King James. He gives power to the faint. To them that have no might, he increases strength. So if you're feeling faint, you're in the right place. If you don't feel like you can take another step, guess what? When you leave in here, you're going to run through a troop and leap over a wall. Verse 30. even the youth. So this is not about your physical age or how many times you go to the gym a week. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But, verse 31, but they that do... So it's not in your natural strength. It's not in your natural ability. It's not about willpower. I appreciate some people with some good willpower. And I understand that you got to have some things in your, you know, you got to be able to put some things under. But you can't do anything without God. I can do nothing of myself. You know, we talk about the in him realities. There's also in you realities. In yourself, you can do nothing. And you might as well fess up, because it doesn't matter how talented you are, how good looking you are, and what kind of education you've got. When it comes to the very end, in yourself, you can do nothing. But they that wait on the Lord. Now, this word wait is interesting, because if some people, as you sing that, you think, well, I'm just going to wait. That's not what this means. That's not what this means. It's more like a waiting, like I'm going to wait on the Lord would be more like a server in a restaurant. They're your waiter or waitress. We don't call them that anymore, do we? I don't think it's right anymore. They're our servers. They serve the table. And they don't, when you wait on someone, when you serve some, you're exchanging things. You give them an order. They take it to the kitchen. Hopefully it's sanctified and prepared and you've prayed over it before it went back there. And then it gets done and they bring it to you. That's waiting on the Lord. People have a misunderstanding of what waiting on the Lord means. Waiting to human thing, when I'm waiting, I'm doing nothing. That is not what biblical waiting is about. I'm sorry I busted some of your bubbles. Because you thought you'd been waiting on the Lord, and actually that's not true. Because if you're waiting, doing nothing, that's not biblical waiting. Why? It's just up to God. Come on, you've been here longer than a minute. You know that's not true. Come on, there's your part, but God's part. Everybody say, I'm waiting on the Lord. What does that mean? I'm exchanging. And then it says, they shall renew. That word renew literally means to exchange. It's actually like a gift swap. Come on, did you ever do that at Christmas? Where you, instead of buying everything for everybody in the whole family, everybody pulled a name? You know, and you always prayed that the right person would get your name. Right? And you exchange. Renew. What does that mean? Exchange. Now, what are we exchanging? My strength for his strength. That's a good exchange. No matter how strong you think you are, yeah, I know we're strong in the Lord, but it's in the Lord. And so when we come, sometimes you come in and you need something. And tonight we're talking about, I need answers. Give me my pulpit down there, because I have to spit on you or something. All right? I have to hear from God. Do you have to hear? Listen, I came in, I don't know where you're at. But I came and told the Lord, look, you know what? I don't even care if I minister to these people or not tonight. I need to hear from you. I'll do whatever you tell me to do. And I don't mean this wrong to y'all. I got to hear from heaven tonight. I got to hear about some things in the future. I got to know some stuff. I ain't got time to mess around. Things are too strange out there. Things are too weird out there. Too much going on. I need to hear from heaven. Come on, this is the best place for me to hear from heaven. It's the best place for you to hear from heaven. Listen, this is where I've been assigned to. This is where my mail comes. Amen. Don't you like it when your mailman or mailwoman or mail person or mail carrier, whatever you call them today, don't you like it when they get the mail to your address instead of your neighbor down the road? God knows where you're at and he knows where you're supposed to be. And he'll send you your mail where you're supposed to be. Your mail don't go anywhere except for where you're supposed to be. Praise the Lord. But we're going to wait. So waiting is active. It's worship. It's praise. It's confession. It's praying. and then I'm going to renew. I'm going to exchange. So I'm going to bring him what I got. And even though it ain't a whole lot, I'm going to give it to him. And then he's going to send me something, his strength. And when I get his strength, they shall mount up with wings as eagle. They shall run. And even though I was weary, now I'm not weary anymore. Even though I thought I was going to faint, I'm going to walk. And I'm going to walk, I'm going to run, but I'm not going to give out. I'm not going to faint. I don't know if you've ever fainted. Have you ever fainted in the natural? I've done it a couple times. I like to bring it up. I was young. Number one time, I was young. I played tennis off my mom and dad's barn. And somehow, some way, somebody left a rusty nail out there. And I got a rusty nail through my thing. And I was working as a McDonald's manager. And I couldn't leave. But about halfway through the shift, I couldn't walk anymore. And somebody kept telling me, that was a rusty nail? And this is why I was backslidden. That was a rusty nail, you said? It was a rusty nail? And the customer, that was a rusty nail, and they said, "You better get to the hospital, boy. You're gonna get lockjaw. You're gonna get whatever that stuff was that causes that. You're gonna get it. You better go." So I went and I called the store manager. I said, "You gotta come for half an hour. I gotta go to the emergency room. I gotta get a shot so I don't get no lockjaw, and I gotta go." And so I went, and I remember I had to get back to work. And so they gave me that shot. I thought it was all fine. I jumped up off the table, and the next thing I know, I was on the floor. She's like, "Son, you're going to have to sit here a minute." "Yeah, but I got to go to work." "But you can't go to work passed out." I fainted. The other time was in healing school. Opal was up teaching. It was way back yonder. We were in the A-frame in the little youth building. I don't even think it was expanded yet, youth building. And I was feeling not so great. And I think I said out loud, "I think I'm going to pass out." And Opal said, "No, you won't, in Jesus' name." And then I passed out. And so... And that wasn't her faith, it was mine. But what happens when you pass out, when you get faint? You lose all control. The devil would love for you spiritually to lose all control. He ain't playing. And that's why you got to spend time in God's presence. That's why church, good for you all, church is not an option. I know you can't be here every time the doors are open. Well, you should be whenever you can. You should get in the presence of God. Worship when we worship. Take notes. Do whatever God's having us do. Because the devil is trying to make you faint. He's trying to bombard your mind. He's trying to make you weary. He's trying to make you give up. But when you get in the right place with God like you are tonight, he'll renew your strength. So you can run again. Y'all, we're living in a season. It's time to run. It's time to run. They'll not faint. Hallelujah. Are you going to faint? I'm not going to faint. You going to faint? All right. So let's look at some things. Let's just start with Acts 13:2. Well, we already started, but let's look at Acts 13:2. I'm not going to take a long time. I got to be careful because, like, teaching on prayer, I say I'm not going to do it forever so we can pray, and then I end up teaching too long on prayer. Acts 13:2. As they ministered to the Lord, a lost art in the modern church is ministering to the Lord. Pastor Ron and I select all the songs they learn. So if you don't like a song, that's on us. It's not on Ted. Don't complain to Ted. We select them. He just is led and picks them, what we've already selected. Because there's no reason for them to learn a song for a month and me tell them, "I don't like it, and you can't do that." You would do that to praise and worship leader? Yeah, I'm the pastor. Anyway, I don't know why that didn't go over better, but and there's a lot of songs out there today that they have nothing to do with ministering to the Lord. And they sing more this way all the time. Even like a lot of songs they write now, we have to change. They're always singing about him, never to him. So we have to change it a little bit. People get, "Why are you changing that song?" Because we'd like to make it worship. This way. Now, they don't all have to be that way. You can have a good balance. And when a word is full of, you know, when a song is full of the word, that's what we want. But ministering to the Lord is kind of a lost art. We spend most of our time ministering to one another. And that's right in some ways, right? I'm called to minister to you, and you should minister to one another. But we've got to minister to the Lord. What happened here? They ministered to the Lord and fasted. We'll skip over that for now. But fasting is right. He's probably not going to call many of you on a 40-day fast, or if any of you. And fasting is just doesn't twist God's arm. It's just you put your body under. For what purpose? Well, if your body's under, you can hear from God better. It doesn't change God. I know some people think, well, if I fast, then I can say to him, I fasted, so now you answer me. Well, that's just really religious and wrong. He doesn't owe you anything. I'll say it again. He doesn't. So you doing something to get him to do something, it doesn't work like that. That's no faith. There's no faith in that at all. Okay. They ministered to the Lord and fasted, and the Holy Ghost said. There are just times in God's presence that can't be replaced with anything else. We are word people in this room, and the word is first place. Because without the word being first place, you can't be a Holy Ghost church. If you're not a word person first, if you're not a word church first, then you'll be a flaky person second. So we're word people, but we're not religious word people. We're not dried up on the vine word people. Because when the word of God is preached, there ought to be a response by the Holy Ghost, a confirmation of the word. Paul said he didn't preach with enticing words of men's wisdom, but with a demonstration. And so learning and understanding this, so the word is first, but there's got to be time set aside in your personal life, besides even coming to church, that you just minister to the Lord, and even corporately. So anyway, I started to tell you this, and I didn't get it all the way done. So I've been praying a lot. And so the Lord said to me, he's like, for this year, he said, I want to talk to them, meaning y'all. He said, I want to talk to them. I'm like, okay. No, I want to talk to them. And he said, one way I want to talk to them is I want to have more face-to-face. Well, we call our worship nights face-to-face. But I knew what he said, and I was like, well, Lord, do you want to add another, you know, another monthly Friday night meeting? And the praise and worship team went, hallelujah. No, I think they would do it if I asked them to, but it didn't seem right. So we're going to do some other stuff. But then this was interesting. This was funny to me. I was like, talking to Pastor Robert, and I was like, you know, you should do that in youth. He's like, Pastor, we already have three scheduled. And I told Pastor Rhonda, you know, maybe, you know, I already got one scheduled. And I was like, oh, it's me. I'm behind. Ignite has been the young adults have been having spontaneous face-to-face. God said, I want to talk to them. But listen to me, it's not just the caropenehisa mahali kipachi. Devente mangrute de deveste ocele prefande gopanzo nohuch kanti. It's not just for you to gather in my name and sense my presence. For if you call on me in truth, I will answer you in truth. And I will show you things to come. And I will endeavor to show you the course which I have laid out for you. I will show it to you, but you must endeavor to follow me. That's a better interpretation of what he said. It's not that he has to endeavor. He shows, and we endeavor to interpret so that we can follow. Are you with me? I rarely have to correct my tongue in interpretation, but it got out of there just a little wrong. Are you understanding me? Well, you don't understand me. Did you understand him? He wants to talk to you. He wants to talk to you. So that mistakes in your future can be avoided and even thwarted. I want to talk to you. I want to talk to you. I want to talk to you. Now, when he came, and many times when I talk to you, I will adjust you, I will correct you, but can you take it? Will you listen and will you adjust so that I can lead you, so I can guide you, so I can even provide for you? Praise God. Now we're getting somewhere. Hallelujah. I want to talk to you. I want to talk to you. I want to talk to you. How does that happen? Those who wait upon the Lord, they ministered to the Lord. And the Holy Ghost said, they ministered to the Lord, and the Holy Ghost said, you know, how many of you know in the New Testament, we're called kings and priests. We have so that we are all that rolled up into one. In the Old Testament, there were kings, priests, and prophets. But, you know, a king, you know, kind of governs. But a priest, one of the high things they did was ministered to the Lord. And even I love, was it David one time? He hired 4,000 of them to do nothing but minister to the Lord. Hired them to do nothing but to minister to the Lord. To do nothing but, that was their job. You minister to the Lord in an old covenant. I wonder why King David was a man after God's own heart and why he was so blessed. Anyway. I want to take you to this. So I want you to see the priestly ministry a little bit. How many know Jesus has a priestly ministry today, right? But let's go to 1 Samuel. I'm going to kick it up a little bit maybe. First, but y'all not know her. Are they on spring break? Is that this week? Oh, that's where everybody's at. They're at the beach where it's raining. 1 Samuel chapter 2. I forgot about that. I was like, Lord, where's everybody at? They're at the beach. Y'all remember Samuel? Do you remember his birth? Was Samuel, he was a miracle, right? His mama couldn't have any babies. She got where the priest thought she was drunk. Is that her? Yeah? Right? Well, I kind of knew that. I'm just seeing what you, if you're all with me. So he's a supernatural child, right? And she promised what? Lord, if you give me a child, I'll give him back to you. And she couldn't call him. Listen to me, even she couldn't call him. God called him. But he was supernatural, so God needed him in the earth. But he's a supernatural child. God put him there. And so immediately this young boy, 1 Samuel 2:18. And now y'all remember what's going on here at Eli's house. Y'all remember? You remember what's going on here? You remember his two sons? Things was a mess. And Eli wasn't doing anything about it. Letting his two boys just run over things and desecrate the things of God. Just a mess. But it doesn't matter what anybody does. God's always got someone in the bush. God's always got somebody in the thing. You know, he's always got somebody. Don't ever worry about it. The Lord's going to have his way. It's all going to get done. All at the end, it's all going to be good. So anyway, here we got, he comes and he's doing what? So let's look at this little guy, Samuel. He's young here, but Samuel ministered. 1 Samuel 2:18. 1 Samuel 2:18. But Samuel ministered. Everybody say he ministered. So what does that mean? When you minister to the Lord, you're doing you're worshiping him. The priests in the old covenant, they burned incense and stuff like that. They offered sacrifices, but it was all worship. So Samuel was doing what? So his duty was to minister. He was a priest in training. His duty was to minister to the Lord. And he did it, being a child girded in a linen ephod. And then let's look at 1 Samuel 3:1. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. So Eli, the priest, was there. But really what is happening here is Samuel, the little boy, is taking over the duties of ministering to the Lord, because I don't know that God was having much to do with Eli, because you see that during this time, it says, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There were no open visions. Well, that was extra unordinary. But the reason that it was there was because Eli was letting so much sin go on in the camp. And all the strange fire and the nonsense. So it got shut down, not because God refused to talk, but because mankind and the Old Testament, the way God has set it up, they weren't cooperating, they weren't doing it right. And it says this, and Samuel ministered unto the Lord. Now you all know what happened when he ministered to the Lord. Verse 4 says, and the Lord called Samuel. Well, Eli's the dude in charge, but God's not talking to him. That should bring you great courage. That it doesn't matter what's going on with anybody else, God can still talk to you. And the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, here am I. But he thought, this is his first go-round. He thought it was Eli. And finally, you know, this happened back and forth, and I think time number 4 is when he finally got to say, here am I, Lord, speak to me. And then God told him what was up. Verse 11 says, behold, I will do a thing in Israel, which both the ears of everyone that hears it shall tingle. He's like, I don't have time to go through. That's not my point to tell you what's going on, but it's kind of interesting. He's telling a little boy this. He's telling a little guy this. Because this little guy is ministering to the Lord. That's why you and I, we should still come like children. Excited like children to talk to daddy. But he spoke to him. After what? He ministered to the Lord. Y'all remember John the Baptist's daddy? What's his name? Elizabeth was mama. Y'all remember him? What was Zechariah? What's his name? Yeah, that's what I thought. That's what I said, right? What's his name? Okay, just so we're all right. Why doesn't that sound right to me right now? Anyway, who was he? He was a priest. And what was he doing? Ministering to the Lord. And what happened? An angel came and talked to him. There's a pattern of ministering to the Lord and then God talking. Now, listen to me. Don't anybody mistake me. You don't have to be in this special ooh-ooh moment for God to talk to you. You're led of his spirit. But there are seasons and times when God needs you to draw away. Did Jesus ever draw away? He did it in the desert. He did it in the mountains. Right before he picked the apostles, after he had a huge crusade, he had to go up and hear from God because he was about to do something that was going to last forever, for all of eternity. Y'all, they got thrones up in heaven with their names on it. This is forever. We got to get the right ones. Interesting, hey? It's just, we got to talk to God, and then he'll talk to you. When the Ark of the Covenant, they ministered before it. I got a lot of scriptures, but I don't know which ones I'm going to do. Let's look at 1 Chronicles 23:13. Just look at this one. 1 Chronicles 23:13. The sons of Aaron and Moses, and Aaron was separated that he should sanctify the most holy things, he and his sons forever, to burn incense before the Lord, to minister unto him. And bless his name forever. I just wanted you to see again, all throughout the old covenant, that when they ministered to the Lord, even though like they burned incense, but they blessed the Lord. For the Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever. And so in Acts 13, they've all been taught already that you have to take seasons and times to minister to the Lord. So I don't know what their intent was when they all got together, the five of them. They were prophets and teachers. But after they ministered to the Lord, what happened? The Holy Ghost said, the next step for Barnabas and Saul is to be elevated to the office of the apostle. And then they set their hands on them and sent them forth. Maybe ministerial is not what we're talking about with you. But there are some next steps that are not hidden from you. They are hidden for you. and your steps are ordered of the Lord. But if you're going to take the correct next step, you need to hear from God. And yes, he will lead you and he will guide you, but you need moments where you can hear from God.